Good morning. Can you hear me? Huh? Yeah? Okay. Well, we're getting ready for our Thanksgiving gatherings with our families when we generally overeat. I hope that you'll remember to be thankful. Be thinking about those men and women that's across the pond fighting for our freedom, trying to keep terrorism out of here. Freedom isn't free. In fact, I think Karl Marx said absolute freedom is absolute nonsense. And I agree with that. I want to talk this morning about some kind of love. Instead of hunting for a text for Thanksgiving, and I looked through the Psalms and that, but I didn't feel right until I lighted on this passage. And I want to talk today about some kind of love. First, I want to read you something I got on Thanksgiving Day. You all probably know this. On this day in 1863, expressing gratitude for a pivotal Union Army victory at Gettysburg, President Lincoln announces that the nation will celebrate an official Thanksgiving holiday on November 26, 1863. The speech, which was actually written by Secretary of State William Seward, declared that the fourth Thursday of every November thereafter would be considered an official U.S. holiday of Thanksgiving. This announcement harkened back to when George Washington was in his first term as the first president in 1789, and the young American nation had only a few years earlier emerged from the American Revolution. At that time, George Washington called for an official celebratory day of public thanksgiving and prayer. While Congress overwhelmingly agreed to Washington's suggestion, the holiday did not yet become an annual event. Thomas Jefferson, the third president, felt that public demonstrations of piety to a higher power, like that celebrated at Thanksgiving, were inappropriate in a nation based in part on the separation of church and state. I want to interject something here, especially if we have any young people in here. Thomas Jefferson was an agnostic. That means he didn't know if there was a God or he believed in one. Thomas Jefferson's memoirs are what spoke of separation of church and state. It's not in the Constitution. The Constitution says in the First Amendment, the Congress shall pass no laws regarding the establishment of religion. They came from an area that was ruled by the Church of England, and the Founding Fathers said that's not going to happen here. But it also says they shall not interfere with the free practice of it. So, I just want to add that in there. On the separation of church and state, subsequent presidents agreed with him. In fact, no official Thanksgiving proclamation was issued by any president between 1815 and the day Lincoln took the opportunity to thank the Union Army and God for a shift in the country's fortunes on this day in 1863. Just a little historical reminder of what Thanksgiving means. Our text this morning is from 1 John chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God. And so we are. The reason why the world does not know us is that it did not know Him. Beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared, but we know that when He appears, we shall be like Him, because we shall see Him as He is. Father, I thank You that Your word never returns to You void. It always accomplishes what You send it out to do. I thank You for the privilege that we have, those who have received what Jesus Christ did. We have the privilege of calling You Father. that if there's anyone here today that's never called on your name, that this might be a day of salvation. In Jesus' name, amen. John is talking to a church that has had some problems with some teachers coming in called Gnostics. And they're trying to tell the church there is no sin. The death of Jesus Christ had no merit as far as the forgiveness of sins. Jesus was raised in the spirit, not in the body. Now all this is going on, and John is trying to pull the church back in to what they were originally taught. And he told the church, if we say we have not sinned, we are calling God a liar. Because the Gnostics taught there is no sin. You know, you don't sin. And John says, if we say that we don't sin, we're liars. But if we confess our sins, God's faithful and just to forgive us. And in his talking about the love of God, the grace and mercy of God, this is where we come to this part of this letter. He says, see what kind of love the Father has given to us. When you think about that, God is the one who instigated this. He, in his love and concern for the world, gave his only Son, God the Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Greek is in the emphatic tense, so it can be rendered was God himself, or the Word was himself God. And the Word became flesh, and he lived among us. This was all God's doing. This was all done by grace, not because we deserved it. In fact, I'm thankful that God doesn't punish us according to what our sins do deserve. And John he's pulling the church back in, reminding them of the gospel that was preached to them and of God's love. He said, look at the manner of the love that God has for us. See what kind of love the Father has given to us. It's a gift. You can't earn it. I can't earn it. God chose to send Jesus Christ into the world that whoever would believe in him, and that word believe is not a head belief, it's an experiential knowledge. Whoever experiences what Jesus Christ has done, whoever calls on him, whoever devotes their life to him, Brother Denning talked about that in his message. It's not a casual decision to be a Christian. That's a lifelong commitment that you're making. And it has to be made every day. But God's the one that instigated this. We can't earn it. And John's reminding these people that are drifting away from the truth. He says, wait a minute. Look at the love that God has shown to you. God shows his love, Paul says, in this. He says, in this instance, in this fact, God shows his love for us in that while we were still his enemies, he sent his Son to die for us. The King James says, God commendeth his love. I heard one preacher take that and say, God recommends his love. He can recommend it. Because while you were his enemy, Jesus Christ died for you. That's hard for me to get my mind around. While I was his enemy, he loved me. While I was his enemy, he sent his Son to die. I told you last Sunday, we're all guilty of murder. Every one of us. We have no right to look down our nose at anyone. We're guilty of murder. If you've ever sinned, you're just as guilty as the guy that drove the nails in Jesus' hands and feet. You're just as guilty as the ones that mocked him and said, come down from the cross. But the good news is, John says, look what kind of love the Father has shown us. Now, he's talking to the believers. If you're an unbeliever, God loves you, and he wants you to come to him through Jesus Christ. You don't do it by works. You don't do it by coming to church. The devil is in church every Sunday. I wish God's people were as faithful as he is about being in the assembled worship every Sunday. But coming to church doesn't make you a Christian any more than going to McDonald's makes you a Big Mac. It's a relationship. John says, church, look at the love God has shown to us. Unworthy as we are, undeserving as we are, he chose to love you and to love me. Paul said, therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, when people are practicing religion, the end result that they're looking for is peace with God. If I can keep these rules, if I can be a good enough person, maybe God will look on me favorably and I won't be tormented. But the thing is, when you're trying to do that, your conscience screams at you, guilty. You cannot do anything to appease God except come to him through Jesus Christ. I believe with all my heart, on the day of judgment, every man and woman that have rejected the gospel will answer to God for the blood of Jesus. I believe that. I believe God's going to say, what more could I have done for you? Think about that. What more could God do? And yet, I hear people criticize him all the time. If he's such a loving God, why is there so much bad in the world? Well, where did you get your concept of bad? You must believe in good if you believe in bad. You must believe there is good if there is bad. And I'm telling you, God's good. Yeah, he's a good God. He didn't create this mess that you and I live in. Man did. Yeah. And in his love, John says, look what kind of love he's shown to us. That we can be called the children of God. You ever stop and think about that, that God is your Father? We think of that in a term, you know, our Father who art in heaven, our Holy Father. But the Scripture shows that God wants an intimate relationship with you. And if you're a believer, and the Bible says he put the Spirit of adoption in you, the Holy Spirit, by which we are able to cry, Abba. That's Aramaic. It means daddy. It's a term of endearment. And sometimes when I look in the mirror in the morning, other than believing that I'm really a nice-looking guy, I think, I'm a son of God. I don't stare in the mirror. But do that sometimes. Look in the mirror and realize that is a child of God looking back at you. And it's all his doing. Christians, we ought to have thanksgiving every day in our hearts. I know what I was before I came to Christ. I resigned myself to the fact that I would be that way till the day I died. But praise God, when I met Jesus Christ, he changed my life. And those things that held me no longer have a hold on me. God did it. God did it. I had to come to him and say, I'm hopeless. You know, there's nothing I can do. God got me off tobacco and pot and meth and booze. And you know something? Holy Spirit revealed to me why my diets don't work. He said, pray over that food like you did the cigarettes. Huh. So now when I see a chocolate chip cookie out there, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. It sounds funny, but it works. That's what the Father does. Yeah. And John reminds the church, or Paul reminds the church, he put his Spirit in me. And that makes me a child of God. By the way, if you don't have the Holy Spirit, the Bible says you don't belong to Christ. You can claim that all you want to, but no one can call Jesus Lord except by the Spirit. Because then it's just in theory, you know. The Holy Spirit makes it a reality. When I received the Spirit, for me it was like I opened the Word for the first time. It was alive. And it was like the Holy Spirit brought me to Jesus and said, this is Jesus. Yeah. I got a relationship. I had two very dear friends of mine came to my house after I'd been saved. And one of them said, I give you a year. And you'll be back to where you were. Well, that was 34 years ago, and praise God, I'm still not back there. Yeah, and that's all God. I give Him the praise and the glory. It's Him. What manner of love He has shown me that I can be called a child of God. John in his gospel said He came into the world, and the world did not know Him. He came to His own people, and they did not receive Him, but to all who did receive Him, He gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of the will of a man, but of God. God did that. John said, the world doesn't know us because it doesn't know Him. And I'm going to tell you something I see in the church. Something that really bothers me. We call it secret friendly. Jesus called it false prophecy. Is that the church now is the place that we want to compromise with the world and say, come on in. We're not any different than you. We won't call you a sinner. We believe in genetic predisposition. God made you gay, so it's okay. The true church of Jesus Christ preaches the Word and nothing but the Word. And you let the chips fall where they will. There's so much encouragement in the Word of God. But most people cannot get by the warnings. They don't like the warnings. And I see this in churches. I listen to different preachers. I go online sometimes. That's how I relax, believe it or not. I'll listen to them. And I hear pantheism coming out of the mouth of men who are supposed to be God's men. And all it is that we want numbers. We want to put butts in the seats. So let's quit preaching about sin and about the need to repent and that you need a Savior. And let's just tell them how much God loves them. He's not mad at you. I hear preaching in Branson, God's not mad at you. The cross speaks differently. Does God love us? Oh, yeah, He loves us. Paul said he commendeth His love. He shows His love in the fact that while we were enemies, Christ died for us. Now, if that's true, then what do I have to do? Remember I told you last week? Think different. That almost sounds too simple. But when they preach repent, literally the Greek says think differently. Line up with what the Word says. Admit it. Own it. You say own it, you got to own it. And John now is talking to us who have stepped over into that area of no condemnation.
And he says, look at the love God's given to us, the privilege that I can call him Father. And he's my father. My earthly dad died 15 years ago. My heavenly father has never died. Never will. I'm not an orphan. I have a father. John said, look at the love. Why do we walk around looking like we've been baptized in vinegar most of the time? Scowl on our face. Why don't you come to church? You know, you need to go to church. Praise God and be like me. No, thank you. I can get drunk and be an idiot. I don't need to go to church. You know. I'm serious, church. How come we're not doing outreach here? What are we afraid of? I'll tell you exactly what we're afraid of. When we're sharing the word with people, a lot of the times you're going to be rejected. But the people need to hear the good news about Jesus Christ. He came to set us free. I was praying the other day. And I've been the book of Ezekiel and these terrible judgments on Israel. And I got to thinking, that's what sin does. Israel thought they were in control. And we touched on that a little in Sunday school this morning. And God said, all of a sudden, it had you. All of a sudden, these lovers used and abused you and left you to die. That's what sin does. Used to get me in the alcohol commercials. They show these beautiful people with crisp glasses sipping alcohol. You know. When you say, Buck Dumber, you said it all. I never got wiser drinking that stuff. I don't know where they got Bud Wiser at. I agree with Ken Hogan, it's Bud Dumber. And I'm free because of Jesus Christ. And I walk in sobriety because of Jesus Christ. Look what the Father has done for me. I can say that. It's the Spirit of Christ in me. One guy tried to credit my wife with the fact that I don't drink anymore. No, it was Jesus Christ. And the fact that he loves me, he still loves me. Even in all my imperfections, even when I fall. John said that we can be called the children of God. I've never been called that outside the church. But that's who I am. And you know, I've come to an understanding that I'm only here because God's given me a job to do. And when I'm done, he's going to take me home. Praise the Lord. I get to thinking about retirement. I figure my retirement will be when they carry me out feet first in the box. But boy, what brings that? Is God your father? There are some people illegitimate out there claiming that God's their father, and he ain't. Well, I believe in Jesus, so do the demons. Can you say what John said this morning with confidence and a clean conscience? Look at the kind of love God has for me that I can call him father. The Bible says the Holy Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we're children of God. Do you have that witness? John's reminding the church of what God went through to save them. We talk about God's mercy and grace, and praise God, that's why we're here. But it ain't free. It cost him everything that was dear to him. And even though we're undeserving, he reaches out to a world that hates him and says, I love you. I love you so much that that I want to rescue you from eternal death. If you want to reject Christ all your life, the Bible says men love darkness, that's what you're going to get for eternity. That's going to be the judgment of God. You love darkness, that's what you get. You didn't want me in your life, you got it. Not just for a lifespan, for eternity. John said that we should be called the children of God. And that's what we are when? Not when we die and go to heaven. Now. Right now. You ever get on to your kids when they pull a stupid stunt because it reflects on you? We need to stop and think when we're out here in public, I'm God's child. And the way I act is going to reflect on my Father. John said, now we're God's children. What we're going to be, we don't know yet. But he said, I'll tell you what, when Jesus returns, we're going to be like him. Praise God. I'm going to be like him. I cannot think of any better way to spend eternity than to be like him. John says you can have that now. I remember a young lady 20 years ago I talked to her. She was a teenager at the time. And I just really felt a burden. I was sharing Christ with her. And she stood there and listened. She said, I believe everything's changed. I said, then what's stopping you? She said, well, I want to have my son first. After I have my son, I get saved. I guess she's still having fun because what I know of, she never did come to Christ. I'm going to tell you something. It's dangerous to offer God your leftovers because he can look at you and say, no, thank you. Today is the day of salvation. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit away by saying, come back another day and I'll think about it. God says it's now. Are you a child of God? Can you say that with a clear conscience? Can you look within yourself and say, the Holy Spirit dwells in me. I know that I'm God's child. If you're sitting there saying, well, I hope I am, then you need to get saved. How did you get a message like this out of these two verses about God loving us? You can't talk about mercy without talking about the other side of it. I don't think you can. The Greek word to be saved, that we have you been saved? It literally means rescued from danger. Would you stand with me this morning? We ought to be the most thankful people that walk the earth. Peter said we need to be ready to give an answer for anyone who asks us of the reason of the hope we have. Do people look at you and see something different? I wonder that myself. Do people look at my life and say there's something different about him? He's not like everybody else. Where are you at this morning? If you've never called on the name of the Lord and you feel like you need to, come up here and sit around. I'll be glad to talk with you. We'll talk right through dinner if we need to. But get it settled. Look what kind of love the Father has. Would you come as we sing our song of invitation?
Thank you.
To the community service tonight if you can, here at the Nazarene Church, just west on B Highway, maybe a mile, you'll see it up on your right, just up on a hill. I got an email, and the pastor says the congregation is going to serve refreshments afterwards. So if you can come tonight, hear the preaching of the word, and to fellowship with these other brothers and sisters, please do, 6 p.m. I had a guy last year came up to me in Town Country. He said, I ain't set foot in a church in 7 years. And we had that community prayer meeting over at the assemblies. And he said, something kept gnawing at me to go. And he said, when I got there, I was so impressed to see all these different congregations there, and nobody was talking doctrine. And he said, I saw you ministers hug each other's necks and joke around. He said, that's what I think the church should be like. Yeah, so people notice that. So if you can, please come for a time of fellowship and for the word. I don't have any prayer requests. Brother Larry, I think you're supposed to close in prayer. Would you please close? Stay meet with us if you can.
Father God, we'd like to thank you for the opportunity just to be together this morning. This fellowship. We ask you to touch each heart through your Holy Spirit. Thank you for your love. Thank you for providing all our needs this time of Thanksgiving, this season. Let us understand what really to be thankful is. We thank you again in Jesus' name. Amen.
Joyful week.